Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
My name's Alex Armitas. For those of you I haven't met, hopefully I'll meet you before we walk out today. As was mentioned, I'm the commanding officer of the Navy Flight Demonstration Squadron. That's probably painfully obvious based on this outfit. But I was invited today, and I'm extremely honored to be here. So thank you for having me.
It's obvious based on my outfit. It's cracking me up. Alex Armitas, the commanding officer of the U.S. Navy Flight Demonstration Squadron, your Blue Angels, number one pilot. And this was at a recent... I always get them wrong, and I think Five Flags Rotary, Seville Rotary. I forget. I'll get it by the end of the segment. I'll check it on my phone. But he was speaking there, and I got invited to come watch and talk with him a little bit afterwards. But also, it's Blue Angels week. We're gonna have flight, circle and arrival today. Breakfast with the Blues. The first day of kind of official activities for the beach show happens today, and of course we're gonna be covering this for the rest of the week. And on the weekend, I'll have my show with Greg McWhirter on from noon to two, former two-time boss of the Blues, and then the Blues fly at two, and we list on their narration right here on News Radio and traffic all day, and we're actually going to be carrying their narration on Friday as well for the full dress rehearsal at 2 o'clock. So if you're wanting to listen to the number seven, the narrator, talk about that, then as the Blues are performing, like you're on a boat or you're down the way at your condo or whatever, that'll be carried here on News Radio on Friday at 2 o'clock. So. Commander Armitas was there talking about a bunch of things, and including, how the team views Pensacola.
Pensacola is where the team is based. We joke that we don't live here, but this is where all our stuff is and where our families stay, because we spend so much time away. But it is very important because the community connection to the team is significant, and there's a lot of support in this community for the Blue Angels. Everybody here knows who we are, which is not always true. When we go on the road, you'd be amazed how many major media folks I meet when we do press and we arrive in a town that has never heard of the Blue Angels. They have no idea what we do. And usually their questions will indicate that pretty quickly. But that's not true here. This is the home of the team.
That does not surprise me at all. I mean, it surprises me that there are people in the United States who are in media who, don't know who the Blue Angels are. But it also, you got to kind of remember that we're like overly aware here, and I'm absolutely sure that the questions he gets or that they get from media folks in some other cities are, well, let's just say, not the most well-informed. So, Mr. President, it says here that you used to be the vice president. that kind of... So these are jets, though, right? Not propeller planes? I don't know. I'm trying to think of what they... But I'm sure they're... I bet. Anyway. So the Rotor does this raffle, a 50-50 raffle, which I'm not big on the gambling protocols, but they typically make the guest speaker pick the number, okay, which is what led to this story.
Quick story, just because I'm thinking about it, it is not relevant to anything to do with the Blue Angels, but the 50-50 drawing reminded me. In my last tour, I was a commanding officer of Strike Fighter Squadron 105 up in Oceana Naval Air Station in Virginia Beach, and we had a Christmas party, as we do, every command has a Christmas party. All of our sailors are there, 245 people, and traditionally they'll do a drawing for prizes through the night, and you'll typically go kind of top down. I was the commanding officer at the time, so I walk up to draw the very first ticket out of this bowl of 245 names, and I pulled my own name out. So, pretty incredible. I'll never forget that. Extremely low odds. I immediately threw it away and pulled out another name, but I was lucky to be able to do that, so nobody knew. But that was pretty awesome, and thank you for that reminder, Admiral. That was fun.
I love the... By the way, it is Five Flags Rotary, and that's Admiral Quinn, former commanding officer at NETC here on the base, who's, great guy all around town and all kinds of things. Anyway, and you kept that he won, but he threw it away so that he wouldn't win in front of all these people, when it's better to just let somebody else win. You know what I mean? Recognizing what's really important is not the money you might get, but the dip in respect, the loss of whatever prestige or if you were to win something like that. It's just not worth it. You know, and I love that that was his first response to it. So the questions that he gets, questions like he's very tall. Very tall. 6'3" or 6'4", maybe 5". I'm not really sure. I should know, but I don't know.
How far back do you have to slide the seat to get in the cockpit?
In case you didn't hear, how far back do you have to slide in the seat to get to fit in the cockpit? Or how far back do you have to slide the seat to fit in the cockpit?
I get probably the single most common question I get, and it's phrased differently everywhere I go, but it's how do I fit in the airplane? I get a lot of questions about my height. Probably my favorite one, which is strange phrasing, is people that will literally ask me, do you fit in the airplane? Which baffles me because they had literally just watched me fly. And that's a weird one. But yeah, it's a tight fit. The only thing that moves is the bottom of the seat. It only goes up and down. And the pedals, the rudder pedals where we put our feet, move forward and back. And that's it. So it's easy for me. It's seat all the way down, pedals all the way forward. And I'll take whatever room I can get.
Do you really fit in there? Or was that a gimmick? That's hilarious. Also talking quite a bit about the planes. You might not realize this, but the F-18s, whether it was the old Legacy Hornets that the Blues used to fly or the Phantoms or the Skyhawks, it doesn't matter. Pick a plane and certainly the new Super Hornets. The Blue Angels, quick pop quiz. The Blue Angels, the flight demonstration squadron for the Navy, the advertising arm of the jet fighter pilot group, the aviation community, they fly A, the newest planes, B, average age planes, or C, the oldest planes in the Navy. You answer for yourself. Okay, I'll just give you a second to think about what you think the answer is, and then...
Most people don't realize how old those birds are you're flying compared to what you came from. Talk about what it's like to keep those old birds in the air.
Absolutely. So the Blue Angels traditionally have always flown the oldest airplanes in the fleet. The Navy and Marine Corps mindset is that our newest, most capable high-performance aircraft are going to be in the fleet where they belong, executing our mission. So the Blue Angels essentially get the leftovers. They were the last squadron in the Navy to transition to the Super Hornet after every single fleet squadron had already transitioned out of the Hornet into the F-18 ENF. The jets we have are what we call LRIP, which is low rate initial production. They are literally some of the very first Super Hornets built. There are about, this is a rough number, there's probably about 700-ish Super Hornets in existence today. We have one of the ones we have on our flight line was number 8. So we've got some old airplanes, which is exactly how it should be.
It is how it should be, because where should the best planes be flying? In the demonstration squadron or over the Houthis in Yemen, right? You want your best planes in the hands of the warfighters. That's the mission of the Navy. So I thought that was amazing. The low-rate initial production, or LRIP, is when you have, like right now, we're dealing with this with the B-2 and how Northrop Grumman is, you know, going to lose an enormous amount of money because they built so many at a certain price, and then cost overruns are on them and the cost overran. But the LRIP is very small because it's just like an experimental. It's kind of like a test case. And same thing here. They built a few Super Hornets in the beginning, and some of the ones that are in the possession of the Blues are part of that LRIP from the very, 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 very beginning of the production run. And that's right. That's how it should be. Exactly.
But there's certainly some challenges, as you mentioned, with maintaining those aircraft. Many of them came into the fleet around the time I came into the fleet, and I'm one of the oldest guys on the team as the commanding officer. In fact, our newest airplane, the newest airplane we have, this is more useless trivia, the newest airplane we have, I flew as a junior officer in Afghanistan back in 2006 or 2008. So that is all of our airplanes have been around for a while. We're constantly working to ensure that they get their full life.
And I was there with my good friend Brent Lane, who asked the follow-up just to be sure that he heard him correctly. The plane you flew is, you know, the BUNO, which is the individual number for each plane. The plane you flew is the newest plane in the Blue Angels?
You said that you flew a plane you're fleet currently, or in your squadron currently, is one you flew in Afghanistan. Is that figurative or literal?
That is literal. So there is an aircraft, and I could tell you which one if you wanted to know. It's not that interesting, but there is an aircraft in our current fleet in the Blue Angels that the first time I flew it was May 2006 when it was assigned to VFA 115, which was my first squadron. And then I flew that jet again I deployed three times while I was in that squadron. Two deployments later, I flew that jet in Afghanistan.
That's a pretty cool statistic. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, so these airplanes have been around. The airplanes are like, and I think anyone that's, for the handful of us that have been in a squadron before, the airplanes very much become a family member. You get to, you have such a small number of them, you get to know them very well, and you know, especially here, we know which airplanes are bent a little different or.
So which one is it?
The one I'm talking about, it's Bureau number 165782.
Okay.
Which is, yeah. So yeah, that means nothing to everybody here but you and I right now.
Okay,
so.
All right,
and they have their own personality.
And it was actually kind of interesting because I asked the follow up later on. I was curious. I always like to ask questions that I don't know the answer to. I didn't know whether maybe the planes had acquired nicknames instead of Buno number. You know, Buno numbers really shouldn't say because it's the Bureau numbers what Buno stands for. But that's what people say, the Buno number. Anyway, you know, I didn't know that they'd be, you know, hey, 2143 or whatever, you know, would be. But that is how they refer to them. But he had a really interesting story about this and the way they manage their planes, especially in the show or while they're traveling.
Do the planes have?
And by the way, this is a little bit longer clip. It's about 3 minutes, but I thought it was such a good story. It was worth playing kind of in its entirety.
Do the planes have nicknames? You said they're all individual characters.
They do not. They don't have nicknames, but we know every single one of them. I can tell you every Buno right now and what we know it for. But we don't name them. All they get is numbers. And a little trivia for everybody that doesn't know this: everything on the airplane is paint except for the name under the canopy and the number on the tail. Those are vinyl stickers, so they can change numbers very frequently. That's a question we get a lot when people get really confused, and especially people that aren't as familiar with the team. They'll see the different numbers up there, and some folks will think that there are different pilots in the airplanes, which can be confusing. If you have time, do we have time for one more kind of silly story? This one cracked me up, and it was a great memory for me on the team. So we normally have a spare aircraft, so we have six to fly for the demo, and then hopefully have a spare F-18. We usually do. Once in a while we don't, but normally we do. The only person that won't go to that spare, so if 2 through 6 has a problem, they will go to the spare, they'll start it up, and they'll join the demo. If I have a problem, I will take the 3-jet. The 3-jet is always my spare. A couple reasons for that. One is that jet by then should already be started up, and we know it's a good jet. And of all of the pilots, 3 is always a first-year pilot, always a diamond pilot, so that is the logical spot for me to go. And then the 3 pilot will get out of that airplane, go to the spare, and then we should be good. So the 3-jet is always one of the boss jets, we call them. There's a couple jets that are kind of earmarked for me for a number of reasons, but just how they fly and kind of their flying characteristics. Last year, our 3 pilot was then Lieutenant Amanda Lee. So we do an air show, or we're doing a practice. It's in Pensacola. It's a Wednesday. We're doing our whole practice, and we didn't have a spare that day. So once we get airborne, I had a problem with the jet I was flying. So the plan then is I'm going to land, the 3-jet's going to land, I'm going to take the 3-jet, take back off, and finish the practice. But because there's no spare, the 3 pilot is done for the day. So, of course, we land, we finish the demo, we do about half of it without the 3 pilot. But two things that came out of that: we had a museum autograph session that day, and two things that I remember. One, a lot of people were asking why the 3 pilot was leading the demo, because again, folks have a very hard time making that connection that there it's possible to put a pilot in an airplane that doesn't have their name on it. But what was even more interesting for me, and something I'd love to unpack that I'll never be able to understand, somebody came up to me and he was not happy, and the exact quote was, "I think it's really messed up that you didn't let the girl fly." So like, they didn't see me going to the spare jet, which is always the 3-jet. They saw like two of us land, and then our female pilot didn't finish the demo, and it turned into, I don't know what it was in his head. It was something else, but that one stuck with me as well. That guy was fired up. But what's that?
Did you offer to sign his hat?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, that's right. Signed a thing, and everybody was happy. But yeah, we get those little bits. There are little things like that happen that are fascinating and certainly memorable.
Absolutely fascinating. Yeah, and of course, this is now the second year that there is a female jet pilot on the team. Amanda Lee. And so anyway, just, you know, I have more of this that we'll play a little bit later on the show. But since it is Blue Angels week, and I had been kind of sitting on this audio since the event happened about a month ago or so, I'm just sharing a little bit with you here on Blue Angels week. 524 on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay.
There is a big difference in the type of service you get from companies that do air duct cleaning. Hi, this is Todd from Gulf Coast Air Care, and I want you to know the difference between a quality job and a blow-and-go duct cleaning job. Let me ask you this. Do you really think you can get a 1-carat diamond for 10 bucks? It's just like getting a $99 whole house duct cleaning. There are guidelines from the National Air Duct Cleaners Association and also the Better Business Bureau. A true inspection, cleaning, and restoration of an AC system includes the equipment and ductwork by a licensed and certified company. It's like a full detail for your car instead of the cheapy method of running it through a $5 wash and go. Air conditioners are expensive. Keeping them clean and well-maintained is a guaranteed way to have better health and comfort. So you decide what works for you, the $5 wash and go or a full detail top to bottom. At Gulf Coast Air Care, we take pride in the certifications and the licenses that we hold. If you want the best quality and award-winning customer service, you can find us on the web at gulfcoastaircare.com or call 934-2768.
Hi, this is Earl Ron. New South Window knows how unpredictable coastal weather can be. And that's why our windows and doors are designed to take on severe hurricanes and the most intense heat. They're built and installed by us, meaning better value and a lifetime guarantee for you. Give your family security that lasts a lifetime. And get New South proud.
Buy two of our products and get the third free. Visit NewSouthWindow.com.
Stop by their Pensacola showroom to see their products in action.
Our daughter, Jessie, loves playing detective.
But since we discovered she has sensitive skin, we've been playing detective, too.
We thought the problem was our puppy.
But it was actually our old detergent. So we switched to Tide Free and Gentle.
Tide Free and Gentle has no dyes or perfumes, so it's gentle on her skin.
If it's got to be clean, it's got to be Tide Free and Gentle. This back-to-school season, Tide and Downy are giving back with $1.5 million in scholarships. Enter to win. No purchase necessary. US/DC 17+. End September 30th. Rules. Tide.com/scholarship/official rules.
Getting quality employees to fill positions in your company is essential, but finding those people can be a major hassle. Unless you use ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter makes finding quality people a breeze. ZipRecruiter's advanced technology identifies candidates with the right skills, sends you great matches, then you can easily invite them to apply. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. See for yourself. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/free to try ZipRecruiter for free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Republican National Convention is in Milwaukee, and next week, Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay will be broadcasting live. Be sure to tune in 5 to 9. News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David?
Well, crews are scrambling to restore power to about 1.5 million customers in Texas after a barrel hit parts of the state this week. It's a race against time, too, as a lot of the state under a heat advisory today. They're expecting triple-digit temperatures. The Federal Reserve says high inflation is not the only risk that the economy faces. As part of his annual address to Congress, Fed Chair Jerome Powell told a Senate committee yesterday that he wants to see more evidence that inflation is slowing before he cuts interest rates. But he also said waiting too long could also hurt the economy and the labor market. And Andrew, Donald Trump held his big rally
never
in Miami-Dade. Never heard of the guy.
Yeah, sorry.
Who?
Go ahead.
Who's this? He held his big rally in Miami-Dade last night, and he challenged President Biden to another debate, of course, said he wanted to give him a chance to redeem himself after the last one. But also, during that debate last night, Trump challenged Biden to an 18-hole golf match, saying he would donate $1 million to a charity of Biden's choice.
That's not all. He not only challenged him to 18 holes of golf, he said he'd spot him 10 strokes around, aside. So he'd spot him 20 strokes in the end, which is even more than a, you know, I mean, I thought I mean, one per hole would make sense, but he went above and beyond that. He said, I'll give him 20 strokes, and if he beats me, I'll give $1 million of my money to a charity of his choice.
Well, you can say a lot of things about Donald Trump, but you cannot say that he's not confident in his golf game.
That's right. I thought the response from the Biden campaign was particularly telling because they thought they were being clever because they said things like, well, we'd challenge Donald Trump to create jobs, but he lost 3 million. We'd challenge Donald Trump to stand up to Putin, but he bent the knee to him. Like, that's the way they took it.
I could just hear the boo.
We'd challenge Donald Trump to follow the law, but he breaks it. You know how, like, mean kids can get in a sort of a bickering match with each other, like in the Sandlot, and then one kid actually knows how to throw insults, and the other kid is like, oh, insults, I know what an insult is. That's how I feel when the campaign for Biden was responding to Trump's challenge.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. Former President Trump taking aim at turmoil in the Democratic Party while on the stump at his golf course in South Florida.
The radical left Democrat Party is divided in chaos and having a full-scale breakdown.
Fox's Brooke Singman has more in a new poll this morning.
A Cook Political Report just moved 6 key states towards Trump in Electoral College ratings. So that's Arizona, Georgia, and Nevada shifting from toss-up to lean Republican, while Minnesota, New Hampshire, and a swing district in Nebraska shifted from likely Democrat to lean Democrat.
President Biden meeting world leaders at the NATO summit today. He'll sit down with a new British prime minister. Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell will be quizzed by lawmakers in the House today. He spent yesterday in front of a Senate panel discussing a cooling job market. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio Pensacola. It's 82 degrees, partly cloudy skies right now. Well, former President Trump held his rally last night in Miami-Dade.
So if you want to save America, get your friends, get your family, get everyone you know and vote. You got to vote early, vote absentee, vote on election day, vote anytime you want, but vote and follow your vote. Make sure that it gets counted. You can do that.
And, of course, a lot of people thought last night that former President Trump may announce his VP pick, but that didn't happen, with Trump tiptoeing around the question, although Senators Marco Rubio and Rick Scott were both in attendance at that event. Colorado State University updating its forecast for the 2024 Atlantic hurricane season. The researchers now predicting 25 named storms, 12 hurricanes, and 6 major hurricanes. Back in June, the hurricane experts had called for 23 named storms, 11 hurricanes, and 5 major storms. There have already been 3 named storms, Alberto, Chris, and Beryl. They point to the warm waters in the Atlantic and the likely transition to a La Nina weather pattern as the reasons for the higher numbers. A Milton man now identified as a suspect who was killed during an exchange of gunfire at Yellowstone National Park last week. Police and park rangers say 28-year-old Samson Fussner was making threats in the Canyon Village area of the park. Local media reported Fussner was there as a contractor working at the park through Zantera Travel. Fussner died after exchanging gunshots with at least one park ranger on July 4th. City leaders in Milton say there's been a rash of fires lately involving people illegally living in RVs. They're hoping to put a stop to that soon.
The city does provide for the placement of an RV on a private parcel, but you can't reside in a recreational vehicle within this community. More of a safety issue than an eyesore, although they can become an eyesore.
City Manager Randy Jorgensen, he tells Channel 3 that there have been 4 of those RV fires in the last year, all of those involving electrical issues. He says people are allowed to have an RV on their property in the city, but you cannot live in that RV. Florida and law enforcement officials are pointing to a decline in drug overdose deaths as a sign of progress. State Attorney General Ashley Moody says overall drug overdose deaths are down 7% across the state, and fentanyl and opioid deaths are currently down 10%. That's based on state medical examiners' numbers for the first half of 2023.
This is the greatest percentage decrease in deaths caused by fentanyl in our state since 2016.
Moody credits law enforcement as well as efforts to help users stay alive and beat addiction. Still, officials with FDLE say at least 2,500 people died of overdoses in that time period. Moody says federal border policies are encouraging fentanyl shipments from Mexico and elsewhere. It's 5:34 at News Radio. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
We will see scattered showers and thunderstorms through the early part of the day. 60% chance of rain overall. High this afternoon near 90 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 78. For Thursday, a 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms. Otherwise, partly cloudy skies with a high near 92. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 77. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. 82 in Pensacola. 80 in Gulf Breeze, 80 in Milton. Your next news at 6 and breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne, News Radio, Pensacola.
Savino with your money now. In a new report, federal regulators are accusing the country's medicine middlemen of steering patients away from less expensive medicines and overcharging them for cancer therapies, among other drugs. Nearly 95% of the prescriptions in the U.S. are handled by six so-called pharmacy benefit managers. They negotiate the terms for prescription drug access for most Americans. The Federal Trade Commission says the firms wield enormous power over patients' ability to access and afford their prescriptions. Regulators add it gives the firm's significant influence over what drugs are available and at what price. Many Americans are willing to take on debt to enjoy the summer, but will end up carrying those balances over for months. According to a new WalletHub survey, 46% of people are still paying off credit card debt from last summer. On Wall Street, futures are slightly higher as the major averages look to make their latest push toward record highs. The S&P 500 booked another all-time close yesterday. That's your money now.
When the open road or off-road calls, the 2024 Subaru Forester answers. Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. The impressive off-road capability of the Forester Wilderness starts with its dependable symmetrical all-wheel drive. It optimizes power distribution between the wheels to deliver maximum traction on challenging trails or in slippery weather conditions. Pair that with 9.2 inches of ground clearance and standard Yokohama Geolander AT all-terrain tires, and you'll feel free to explore even farther down the trail. Plus, the Forester Wilderness comes with a full-size spare, a rare sight these days. The Forester Wilderness makes it easy to load up for adventure with an extra-wide rear gate opening and 60-40 split fold-down rear seat. And its interior protective material stands up to wear and tear from all that gear, passengers, and pets. The Forester Wilderness is built for your boldest adventures. Find yours at Anderson Subaru. Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola, online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
As a business owner, you have a lot on your plate, from managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. As an IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, remitting state and federal taxes, helping with COVID employee retention credits, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and their HR expertise. Avalon HR lets you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Avalon HR, employing made easy.
Hey, this is Dr. Ben McMillan. I do a show on the Pensacola Expert Panel. We talk about your health problems.
Let me educate you about the Activator method of adjusting, which offers a safe and effective alternative to traditional manual adjustments. So whether you've been hurt in a car accident or been suffering from back or neck pain, chiropractic care could be your solution and not just a temporary fix.
Join me this Friday on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
That time of year again, hurricane season. News Radio 92.3 provides informative, local, and dependable coverage to make sure you're informed of any major storms coming to our area. Before a storm, we keep you informed of the storm's track, where food and gas shortages occur, and where you can get sandbags. During the storm, we stay on the air to let you know where the storm is headed, where power outages occur, road closures, and other storm warnings. Then after the storm, we get you the information to help you recover from the storm and help your neighbors. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable hurricane headquarters.
Hey, could you any kind of reminds and things?
morning, 5:39 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Yesterday, we had Sheriff Chip Simmons here in studio with me. I had a chance to talk with him about a bunch of things. Sheriff, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. How you doing?
Fair to say I get excited about weird things, though, right?
Yeah, well, you're looking at the clock and you're like, yes, it's right on the nose. The things that people don't see.
Look, my odometer says 54, 45, 54. Yay. I am that nerd, though, that's for sure. Okay, I got to ask you this question because it has been asked by a couple different people and one person very persistently. Since we talked about the shoot house and the firearms training facility that you operate, and you know, we did a lot of talk about that, can private citizens use that? Is there any provision? I know you talked about opening up more firearms training for civilians and preparing them to, you don't have to get a license anymore for CCP, but still good to get training, and you can still get a license. Any degree to which the facility is open to the public, or is it just under those circumstances?
Yeah, no, it's not open to the public. You have to understand, we, not just the Escambia County Sheriff's Office uses that for firearms training, but also Corrections uses it, FBI uses it, Pensacola Police Department uses it, all these other agencies are using it. And then we have our own law enforcement academies, and George Stone uses it for their academies. So yeah, it is so booked up. That's why even when you and I were talking about you getting out there to take a look at it, I had to make sure it was a certain time. And there were still people out there.
There was a class. Yeah, yeah, they were using the range, right.
Yeah, and so every day of the week, literally every day of the week, it's being used, including weekends. So it's not something that we have the capacity to allow people to use.
But you are looking at doing some citizen training courses on firearms, and I guess it wouldn't include a shooting component. It would just be classroom stuff?
No, it could. Okay. It could. And we have to do that on the weekends as well. And
okay.
We've had one of those, and we'll look to have another one. That's grant-funded. The state of Florida provided grant money when they changed the law on carrying concealed. And so we use that money to buy certain things. You know, for you've seen some of the things that we have out there.
Yeah.
Some training dummy guns and that sort of thing.
Okay.
Make sure that it's safe. But unfortunately, it's not open to the public.
Got it. A couple of incidents, unfortunately. I think the one that caught, the most attention was this. Three people in a car trying to buy marijuana from a dude or some kind of drug from a dude. They try to rob him with their guns. He pulls his gun or gets a gun away from them or something. And what's going on here? What happened here?
Yeah, all that happened. we talk a lot about risky behavior. And if you're not involved in risky behavior, the chances of you being the victim of a violent crime is really, really low. This case is just what we're talking about. Three people decide that they're going to go and buy some marijuana from a guy, meet this guy. One guy in the back, one of the buyers, the would-be buyer, pulls out a gun and tries to rob him. And there's a tussle or a fight over the gun itself. The seller, the person that didn't bring the gun, he ends up with the gun on the ground. And then the guy, the guy comes at him and he fires at him and shoots and kills him. So there is this felony murder aspect of things that we talk about. So,
and the other two fled, right?
The other two were in the car. They took off.
Okay.
They had seen enough, and they took off. So we got a hold of everybody. We seized the car. We got all the information that we need to make the assertion.
Whose car was it?
It was a borrowed car. I think they borrowed a car from someone.
Okay. But they brought the car to the drug dealer.
Right. That's correct. And then they stayed in the front seat. The driver was still in the driver's seat. And when all this stuff's taking place, when the fight's going on, shots are fired, they take off. So they leave their partner there dying.
Mm-hmm.
And then the person who was selling drugs, he survived, and we talked to him, obviously. And the bottom line is they're trying to rob someone of some drugs. A fight over the gun ends up one of the persons trying to rob him gets killed, and so we charge the other two, the people that sped away, with the felony murder. Again, during the commission of a felony, someone ends up getting killed. You can be charged in Florida with felony murder. And we've used this a couple of different times. And I believe this is the one where, an interesting fact here was the person that we arrested for felony murder was also charged on probation for felony murder from a previous incident
Right.
That's correct. So this is not the first time that they tried to rob someone and end up getting, or he himself tried to rob someone.
And someone died in the process.
Dying. Yeah.
So the where we stand right now is no charge for the alleged drug dealer because he was self-defense.
Well, we're
at the moment.
The marijuana charges
are
pending.
But the drug charge, right. Maybe, right, yeah. But no charge on the homicide because it'd be self-defense. Charges for the two accomplices for felony murder because a homicide was committed in the process of committing a felony, which means they catch a murder charge,
right,
as felony murder. And they're in custody?
They're in custody. They were. I'm so hoping that they're still in custody, yes.
Okay, and the drug charge on the seller is pending. Okay, that's kind of what I expected, but I wanted to make sure that's where we are at the charges stage. Okay, we're talking to Sheriff Chip Simmons, Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons. John Pickens got traffic on the fives. We also had somebody shot and killed Saturday morning on Beggs Lane, but this turns out, I think, to be a fairly standard incident. Is that right?
It looks to be a self-inflicted gunshot wound, yeah.
Okay. Which is, I mean, people don't realize that that's a lot. I mean, we don't report, this is longstanding practice in the media. We don't really report on suicide attempts or suicides, but, and I remember I was in my neighborhood one time and I just was coming home and I saw a bunch of your deputies at home and I, you know, I'm partially resident, partially news guy, and I went to find out what was going on and they're like, you know, it was this. I'm like, oh, well, okay, I'm done here. You know, because that affects people and that's common, right? Having to find that.
It is all too common. There are a lot of suicides in throughout the country, obviously, mm-hmm. but certainly Escambia County, we respond to a lot of suicides. Unfortunately, we have some murder suicides.
Right.
A couple months ago, we had an elderly couple. I think a male ended up shooting his wife and then he took his own life as well. So yeah, we work a lot of self-inflicted gunshot wound suicides.
And of course, you also generally have to, you bring in the medical examiner to make sure that it's not just apparently a suicide, because that can be the case too. And they have to make sure that, you know, what looks like might not be the case, but, you know, right, most of the time it just is.
Well, but we are aware that, you know, sometimes you might be able to try to make something look as if it's it's a suicide, but we have to make sure the evidence that we see and the statements that we get match the story that we're trying to figure out.
There's another shooting took place on Friday night in Escambia County, and you're looking for a Richard Burt in connection with this 23-year-old woman was shot. Is that right?
Well, yeah. The we actually picked up Richard Burt. So he's in the jail.
He is okay.
Right. We want to talk to him. He was a person of interest because we believe that we put person of interest, and I'll just tell you, we believe he was at the scene at the time of the incident.
Okay.
So the investigation is continuing. We're wanting to make sure, like we always do, we talk to everyone that's either there that has information. Maybe they get information after the fact. We want to make sure that we get all the information and then put that together, because some of the information we're getting is that he was involved, and then information we get was that there was some sort of a, maybe not Russian roulette, but you know, some kind of games being played with weapons.
So really,
we're looking at it as if it you know, obviously all death investigations, certainly gun related ones, we look first of all, is this a homicide? And then if it doesn't seem like a homicide, what is it? Is it a is it self defense? Is it culpable negligence? Is it or is it just accidental discharge? Sometimes people play with firearms that think they're unloaded, and then they do some crazy things with the firearms. So we're looking at all these avenues and trying to piece together exactly what took place.
So this one looks like it might have been in the playing around with category, and whether they knew or didn't know or believed or didn't believe that the gun was actually capable of shooting, that maybe it was something like you said, a Russian roulette or something, where they're engaging in really dangerous gunplay that they may or may not realize is dangerous.
Yeah, and even though it looks as if it might be an accidental shooting that ended up injuring this young lady, we're not complete yet. We're not ruling out homicide, and that's why we wanted to talk to Richard Burt and kind of get his stance on it. Mm. But as I understand, there were more than just those two there. So obviously, the statements of the other parties, the third parties or fourth parties that were there, is going to be very important, and also an assessment of the scene itself. And again, all these things must be consistent, and then we will make that final determination.
I mean, I know you'll agree with me on this. Like, we teach our kids gun safety when it's toy guns.
Right.
Because I want, you know, don't point a gun at a person unless you're prepared to shoot a person. Like, period. End of story. You know, don't wave the gun around. Don't point the gun around. Don't point it near me, at me. It's like a core principle of gun safety. And, you know, I get not everybody's going to get that, but it's, you know, every gun is a potentially loaded gun until you're absolutely sure it's not. And even then, it feels weird,
it
you know, to point a gun at somebody.
It makes you feel strange to see someone pointing a gun at someone else
in play or anything,
even
else,
a toy gun. It's like, you know, and I got grandkids, and I'm always looking at them thinking, do not do that. Don't point that gun at anyone. And I know, you know, some look at me, are you crazy? It's a toy gun. Yeah, but what happens when they get a real gun next time and you know, by accident or something? I want that firearm safety to be, that discipline to be ingrained in them, just like it was for me throughout, because we don't want anything, you know.
You want strong taboos around that, because that's how you get good behavior. You get safe, disciplined behavior. That's it. Finger off the trigger, even on a toy gun, you know, just out of safety. Right. A couple of maybe a little bit unusual questions, but I wanted to ask you. One that came in from a texter says, you've seen some of these, like, catch a predator social media. People will deliberately, well, they'll do what you do or what agencies do to set up a trap, you know, for somebody. Right. And then, you know, get them arrested or beat them up or whatever they do. Is that legal? Is that illegal? The person wants to know, what if I start a local sting operation on my own? View?
Well, I mean, if you're looking to solicit something, you can get yourself in a bind that way, because we are monitoring what's going on social media. We are part of ICAC, Internet Crimes Against Children. So we have this these people that every day, what they're doing is they're monitoring and looking for people that might be engage in this sort of behavior. So if you're trying to lure somebody, then you can't do that. And then you have to explain to the law enforcement officers why that you're just trying to do, you're trying to do good. You know, we used to have people do that all the time when we would do like prostitution stings. We'd stop a car and the guy would say, oh no, I'm just trying to preach to them, and I'm just trying to do, and they have some explaining to do. You know, and is my point. And I don't think that that's a great idea. I think if they have information, if they see something, let us know, because we have an operation where we can go ahead and do that. And certainly to your point where they meet him and beat him up, I would not suggest any of that. We have an operation, and once we get someone that we need to have an arrest warrant for, if we have information enough to where we can stop and arrest an individual, I think that it's you know, we do it in a professional manner.
Always hiring. People want to pretend to be cops, they can actually be cops, you know. That's always a possibility.
And honestly, everyone thinks you're an investigator. Everyone thinks that right. they could do
You've
that.
Seen CSI? Times, they're how hard correct, can it be?
You know, and it's not that difficult. I mean, I've done it. It just takes years and years of training and intuition and working together and knowing the laws, because we have so many rules that we have to follow by, you know, abide by, and for good reason. I'm not complaining about
absolutely.
The laws. You know, the judicial system is what makes us the country that we have.
The cameras on the beach, they're up and running? Three?
Well, if you remember, we asked Island Authority to, hey, let's get some more cameras and integrate them into our real-time crime center. In the meantime, I wanted to buy other cameras so we can put at big events. So we have, what you'll notice if you're out there, we have a small trailer with a telescoping camera, and there are three of those, plus we have our surveillance van out there. So there's cameras around our precinct. So we do have a number of different cameras at Pensacola Beach, because it's a big weekend and last weekend and this upcoming weekend. So if people were looking at them, asking about them, they are live and they're feeding straight into our real-time crime center. So don't act a fool.
or if you are a fool, don't act up to your ability.
Yeah, well, you know.
Or down.
Moderate your
they're not all
behavior.
Acting, by the way.
Yeah. So there's one in Boardwalk. There's one in Casino Beach. You'll see them. We're not trying to hide them. We want people to know that there is surveillance. And in my mind, if I know that, I'm like, you know what? I feel a little better about it, because there's cameras around here.
When I'm parking my car or whatever and I'm in a parking lot, I feel better when there's a camera. I feel like that's a minor deterrence, and it's certainly a catch after the, you know, I appreciate that. Hey, last thing. It's a story that comes out of Birmingham. There's a neighborhood in Birmingham that's had a lot of crime, drive-bys, shootings, prostitution, drug dealing, you name it, okay? And in conjunction with their residents, their mayor and police chief are putting in barricades or closing off streets. They're either closing down to allow limited street access, or they're closing off completely to make them like pedestrian-only kind of areas. I'm not sure on the details here, but you know, we got a couple of areas in town. I particularly think of, you know, Harris Boulevard and Diego Circle most recently have been in the news a lot for this stuff. Is that something that you guys have ever thought about, looked into, the possibility of, I assume it would take county commission and resident buy-in, but is that an approach that you guys have discussed?
Oh, well, I haven't discussed that. I can see where a neighborhood would say, hey, enough is enough, and we want to do something different. That, again, that would be something for the Board of County Commissioners, and is a state road, is a county road, and what they can do, and you mentioned buy-in. I know that it requires buy-in for like even speed bumps.
Right.
You know, and I'll be honest, it's difficult sometimes to get speed bumps. So to close off a roadway, I think is going to take a large effort. I have been talking, as I mentioned before, to Commissioner May about getting more cameras all up and down Aris and Diego Circle, and so that Massachusetts and
Massachusetts,
that it'll be the deterrent. So I am not turning my back on anything that the neighborhood might want to do for helping their particular individual, their safety, their own community. I know there are some that have gates and guards and that sort of thing. I'm not sure if everyone can afford that. My neighborhood's not gated or guarded, but I do think that there are some things that we can do, and I'm willing to look at anything. But that would not be, it's not something
not the first
say,
choice.
Yeah,
okay.
I want to shut this road down or that road down. This is a riot situation.
I absolutely. Sheriff Chip Simmons, Camby County Sheriff Chip Simmons, as always, thanks for the time. Thanks for keeping us safe, and we'll talk to you next week.
You bet. Y'all take care.
Absolutely. 5:55 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. If you are looking for that next vehicle, could be you just want to get in something different, or could be that you do like I do, which is I drive the car until, if only three of the wheels have fallen off, it's not time to get a new car yet. Like, that's kind of how I look at it. I remember when we were buying the Honda Odyssey for my wife, that we had a Dodge Grand Caravan that we had had since my son was born, and it was not new when we bought it, and it was going. It had about 6 months left in it. The main gasket or head gasket was going, but not gone just yet. So what we do, which is I recommend you do, is go test drive the car before you need to buy it. Figure out what you want, and then, take your time, finding the right price, whatever. Don't go shopping when you're hungry. Don't go car buying when you're in need. Go car buying before you're in need so you can make sure you get what you want. Well, we wanted to test drive a Honda Odyssey of this year to make sure it was what we wanted. And none were available. It fell in a weird gap where the pre-owned certified you couldn't drive because of the way the dealership rules work, and nobody was selling them on the open market. So it's just kind of, but we found one. At Frontier, they had gotten it from an auction down in Orlando that, the dealership there couldn't resell it, so they bought it at an auction. We drove it. We loved it. We looked at the price. Price was good. Can you come down? Yes. Can we take a day? Yes. Can you come down again? Yes. Can we buy it? Yes. that's how it took for us to buy a car. We test drove it and just bought it that easy. But that's the point. They have a great selection of cars, and you can go there and kind of sample and get a sense of what's available in the market, what you really want. And if you want to buy one right then, you can. If you want to wait a little while and do some more research, you can. Whatever. Just think of Frontier as your first place resource, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Hello, this is Mary with Howard Young Flooring. Shopping for flooring can be a little overwhelming. At Howard Young Flooring, we are here to help you any way we can and answer any questions you may have so that you can make knowledgeable decisions. We understand the importance of each and every customer and would like to thank you for allowing us into your homes. For those we have not met, we hope to see you soon. Visit us today at 4333 Avalon Boulevard in Milton. We look forward to covering your future.
Join the fun at the 4th Annual Sensory Street on Sunday, July 14th from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the Downtown Museum of Commerce. Come on out of the heat and bring the family to this fun-free community event. Dance, plant, count, play music, and make some fun memories. Sensory Street is hosted by Autism Pensacola, presented by the Bear Family Foundation, and sponsored by many other community supporters. For more information, visit autismpensacola.org. See you soon at Sensory Street.
Your home is your place of comfort, so who can you trust to come into your home to update your countertops and leave them more beautiful than before? Gray's Granite is committed to creating your dream kitchen or bathroom and ensures excellence with every job. All of their technicians are well qualified, licensed, and insured, a cut above the rest. Gray's Granite strives to lead the industry in solid stone while servicing the local community with high-quality custom work. Gray's Granite, 3141 Potter Street, online at graysgranite.com.
Why is Bray Jewelers the best place to buy an engagement ring? Come in and see our selection. I promise you, we have more diamond engagement rings than you'll see anywhere in the panhandle of Florida. But it's what you do for people that they don't expect that they remember. The little things that we do, we want to deliver special experiences for you at Bray. We love doing what we do, and we love making people happy. We want every person that walks into the store to feel like you're part of our family. I want everybody to have an amazing experience at Bray Jewelers.
No matter how you listen, you can rely on News Radio Pensacola to keep you informed and safe when storms strike. You can listen on our mobile app.
We're looking for a few good men with a medal to be Marines. I know you.
Welcome back. 5:59 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne has a quick headline or two for us. David?
Well, after kicking off this week's NATO summit, marking the 75th anniversary of the alliance, President Biden today will officially welcome NATO allied leaders to the D.C. summit. He'll also be talking with the new British Prime Minister.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
You're listening to